Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we appreciate your great presence tonight. How we thank you, Lord, for coming amongst us. Lord, we feel the waves of the Holy Spirit already moving back and forth among the people, Lord. Lord, it lifts our expectations. Just the lift that we feel in our spirits already, Father. Lord, it brings us under anticipation that something good will happen tonight. Oh God, take every heart and mind, every soul, even now. And God, may you bring us into one accord. Lord, we confess all our sins and our shortcomings, all our mistakes and our failures. Lord, we stand in humble submission to you, blood of all transgression, Lord. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, the great comforter that is here, Lord, as the songs were sung tonight, have the preeminence, Lord. Make us your prisoners, O God. Bind us with the chains and fetters of your word. O God, only the divine mind of the Holy Spirit, O God, knows, dear God, the program of God. And to see you drop the right songs in the right places, dear God. Lord, preparing the way. Lord, you would move and do something special tonight. Lord, we just want to follow in obedience, Lord. Lead us in the bloody footprints tonight. Bless each and every one. Meet every need in our midst. Lord God, let there not be one tonight that would go away from this place empty, but may everyone go full, pressed on, and running over just what they have need of, Father. Bless them, and may there be a great deliverance in our midst. May there be a great lift in the spirit tonight, a real charge of faith. Lord, I'll bring victory in every life tonight. Grant it, Lord. We love you, and we ask these things that we might serve you better, we might walk closer to you in this hour. We, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray and we ask all these blessings for your honor and for your glory. Amen and amen. Praise his wonderful name. God bless you tonight. We welcome you all in the house of God, and we appreciate the fine singing and the spirit of worship that we feel is here in, amongst us tonight. And we would like to just turn our Bibles now to Genesis chapter 37. I just feel that everything is just right. Everything is just fixed by God's grace. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows just how to confirm things, to show he's already gone ahead of us and to anoint our faith. Really appreciate when we see God move like that, and we see, you know, people can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Just right where I want to preach tonight, and I'm just kind of wondering if this was what the Lord wanted, but just, I just feel so satisfied now hearing the two songs, Prisoners and Preeminences. Genesis 37, I'm going to read from verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? See, they could see what the dream was already saying. Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. See, the father used to dream dreams too, you see. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, and see whether it is well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out to the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Let's just turn to Genesis 42, verse 6. Read from verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly unto them. And he said unto them, from where come you? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land, you are come. And one more scripture before you have a seat, Psalms 105. I'd like to get that. Verse 16. David speaking here about Joseph as well in this psalm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. God did. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Let us pray. Almighty God, realizing, dear God, that you've sent a prophet with a message. Lord, so many years ago, you opened up these seven seals that the Christian church had waited for almost 2,000 years. Yet in these last days, we saw the appearing of those seven angels and the seven seals being opened and a prophet upon the face of the earth, bringing forth those mysteries as it was promised in the Bible that he would do that the church might be called out and prepared and made ready for your coming. 30 years have passed since that time, Father, and here we are tonight walking in the light of this message. And dear God, as we come down to the end of time almost, Lord, we see that you have been gracious to us. That even these last closing days of time, Lord, your Holy Spirit is moving with such rapidity. As your prophet said, it's only the born-again Christians could really keep up with it. Lord, even tonight while we are gathered here under the sound of your voice, Lord, when this message is being recycled, dear God, when these things are spoken by your prophet, it's been waved another time for the perfecting of the faith of your people. I pray, dear God, tonight we'll have such a special visitation and such a special unction from the Holy Spirit to take the word and divide it out and bring such a charge of faith in the hearts of your children, bringing such illumination, such understanding, that, dear God, they might be brought out to walk, Lord, in harmony with you, Lord, walking with a clear understanding of the will of the Lord, that they can redeem the time, knowing the days are evil. Oh God, it's high time we awake out of our sleep, because it's nearer than when we first believe. Lord Jesus, may you help us tonight. May you lead and direct us in this service. May, Lord God, your Holy Spirit deal with each and every one as we have need. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. I would like to take for the title tonight, Prisoners First, Then Vindicated and Play Sons. Prisoners First, Then Vindicated and Play Sons. And I'm taking a little inspiration out of the message by the Brother Branham preached called Paul, a Prisoner of Christ. And we really want to look at preeminences and prisoners. And that's why I think it was so appropriate with the songs that they were sung tonight. And, you know, God just knows how to drop those things in, because from the 1st of December when I started to preach, let there be light, until Sunday morning, thy whole body shall be full of light. You know, all these messages trying to bring it to the place where we can see the vision of God's program for this hour, and even the local church here, in the way that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us at this present time, and the things that is trying to get our attention focused upon, that he might be able to communicate his will to us and we might know how to walk. And I trust that you have been taking a little time to review the messages and listen them back. And because, as I say, don't catch everything when you sit here in the house of God and you just hear so much and you contain so much. But as you listen it back over and you study it out through the scriptures while you're quiet at home there, you know, you can see the emphasis that the Holy Spirit is making and the things that is necessary. Because sometimes maybe I kind of put a lot in one message, and I do it because I feel that, you know, the time is short, and I just try to put everything into it rather than stretch it out, because, you know, sometimes I have to be in Able Country, and then, you know, I'm preaching down in Cedrus too, and I take a rest in between, and one of the brothers would come in, and then I leave it so that if I come back, I don't leave a big space and I have to try to pick up and recap and so on. So I put it on the tape so you can, you know, follow it up on your own and catch it, because we're not just trying to preach in a way to congregate people and have the church running, but we're trying to preach to bring your personal life into the place where you can see God's will for you. Amen. You can you can come into that place, you can take the challenge of the word and walk into it and see that word live through you by God's grace. And even the little message tonight is just to build faith a little bit, to stimulate faith a little bit, and to sort of bring to you what we believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to see in this hour as believers. Because, you know, when Brother Bam preached this great message, the statue of a perfect man, and we have it here, you know, as teaching, a little chart for teaching as to what God is doing in this age. And he said that this was a message on teaching, because he's speaking about perfection, a perfect man. This is the age when God is bringing his church to perfection. There's no resurrection until the church comes to perfection. There is no adoption until you come to maturity. God don't adopt babies and children. God adopt men. Paul turned as a child. I spoke as a child. See, he says, well, I fed you with milk. I couldn't feed you with meat because you're carnal as babes. As newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word. He said, while we were children, we were tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But as we grow up into Christ, who is the head, then henceforth we are no more children. We are no more tossed to and fro because we're coming up to full age. We're coming to full maturity. While you was a child, Galatians 4 says, you differ nothing to a servant. You see, you're under teachers and tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. And then you come to a place where you are Lord of all. You come into a place of maturity. You come into a place of adoption where God knows that he have tried you, he have proven you, and he have found you to be faithful. He have trained you by the word, and he let the test come, and he see that word being lived out through you. And you who know that when God called you, he's calling you to be conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. And you are his workmanship, as the song was saying tonight, created unto good works. And he's bringing you from stage to stage. And so when we could see this great program of God, how the wheat is growing from a stalk to a tassel to an ear to the very ripened grain itself, then the Lord of the harvest comes and put the sickle. He don't come for the green grain. He don't come for the plant. He comes for the ripened grain. And that's why he said the church had to lay in the presence until it's been ripened. And God know what ripen means. Ripen is Jesus Christ. Ripen is the Son of Man that was waved before us, that could speak into existence, that had the image of the word, the character that the word can come to. That is ripened. Ripened means that you tested and with trials, and then you get harder trials. Where you are tested to the final point, like God brought Abram up Mount Moriah and said, now I know Abraham, amen, that you fear me. When he was willing to sacrifice everything. And you see, God did those things that way in his word to show to us in calling us, he has a specific pathway to lead us into. And sometimes it get dark in your life. Sometimes it get troublesome in your life. Sometimes it seems everything is falling apart. It don't mean you're going to be lost. No, it means God is passing you that he might teach you and train you. Because dark skies is no sign of God's disapproval. Neither is bright sunny skies, everything being blessed and happy and nice and singing. That don't mean you're in the will of God either. Amen. You see, because God's, real election, his real, you know, consolation to you is that you are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And you know that God chose you before the foundation of the world and predestinated you unto the adoption of children. So when you know what your destination is going to be, then it takes the fears and the doubts out from you while you are in your earthly journey. Amen. Then you can say, what shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall famine, pestilence, tribulation? No, all these things, we are killed all the day long. We are conquered as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. But that it is that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. That you can hold that token with unwavering faith in this hour. You can display that life. And he said, this here is a message on teaching that ties the man that is to be redeemed by the blood and who will be in that eternal church age at the end of the seven seals. Page 6, study of a perfect man. So there is to be an eternal church age, and that eternal church age comes at the end of the seven seals. It's not before the seven seals, because before the seven seals, these are the ages you have. Amen. This is the seven church ages. But then there's a calling out of that time.
to bring you into the rapture. Amen. When the seven church ages black out here, then they're calling out of Laodicea. Come out of her, my people. Amen. Come up here, John. At that, but going up into the rapture. And that is where God is bringing the fullness of the word. The Lord himself descended from heaven a shout. And the fullness of the word is coming to bring the church to that perfection. Amen. Because this age, this last age, rejects him. This is not an apostolic age. This is a reformer age. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost is stalk, tassel, and shock. That is not green. Amen. That is a reformer age. But Elijah was to come at the end of the age. Because the messenger always come at the end of the age. And when he come at the end of the age, he's not going to reform. He's going to restore. He's going to reveal. See, Luther, Wesley, didn't reveal. They catch a truth and they brought a reformation. But this one, according to Revelation 10:7, is going to finish the mysteries of God. In the days of his son, then the mystery will be finished. He's going to uncover everything that was sealed in the Bible. God told Daniel, seal up the book, Daniel, until the time of the end. God told John, seal up the book, John, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin the song, the mystery will be finished. So it was not going to come in the first six ages. It was going to come in the seventh age, according to what he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So it will have to wait until the ages run out. And after the ages are run out, then the seven sealed book is to be opened. So when the seven seals book is open, you know the church is finished. He is not being revealed as son of God. He's being revealed as son of man. Son of man is not son of God. But yet son of man is son of God. Whom do men say, I, the son of man, am? Thou art the Christ, the son of the living God. Is that right? But son of God, it was the Holy Spirit in the seven church ages. Amen. It was the same life of Christ. See, a measure in each age. But then the fullness of the Godhead bodily comes back in human flesh, like Genesis 18. It was God, the creator, coming to Abraham in a human form, that Abraham called Elohim. And that same word, Elohim, Lord, is the same word in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So Abraham saw the creator coming in flesh and recognized him. That was the one. That's why 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The same Lord who came to Abraham, the son of man to be revealed. And when he comes, he'll be a prophet. From Malachi 4:5, he will burn the earth with fire. After that, Elijah. Just like he burned the earth with fire after the son of man was revealed, the Gentile world. He burned those Gentile cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, with fire. So this Elijah is going to come. He's a son of man to reveal the son of man. The son of man is only one the son of man, but there's many a son of man. The prophet is a son of man, but there's one God prophet. That's why every prophet said, thus said the Lord, but he said, I see. Jesus never said, thus said the Lord, because that was the Lord saying thus. Amen. God himself speaking. Amen. And that one was to come back and be veiled in a prophet, according to St. Luke 17:30. As it was written, the Lord, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Even that shall be when the Son of Man is revealed. So, at the end of the age, when them seven seals are open, it's going to uncover to us what took place in the seven church ages. Because there was something taking place in the seven church ages. In every age, there was a seal being broken. There was a messenger on the earth catching the word of God. There was an elect being sealed away unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Though they live in a day of intercession, they were sealed unto the day of redemption. Because the Holy Spirit is the earnest until the redemption of the purchased possession. Paul said, we have the first fruits of the Spirit waiting for the redemption of the body. See, they live in a time of intercession when he was a high priest in the mediatorial office. But at the end of the ages, his intercessory work is going to change from intercession to redemption. And redemption will be revealed. When redemption has been revealed, there's a message now that is telling you it's time to go back to Eden. There's a title deed of redemption coming. There's a call for the kinsman redeemer. Come and take the book. Amen. It's that time. And last week we was looking at some of those things. So he says here, this message is a message on teaching that ties in the man who is going to be redeemed by the blood. In every age, had a portion who has been redeemed by the blood. See, they was coming into the dark. When the messenger spoke, he didn't have an ear to hear what the Spirit said to the church. In every age, an elected group was hearing what the Spirit was saying. The Spirit was speaking through the messenger. The messenger was calling the names that was in the book in every age by his message. And my sheep hear my voice. It was the great shepherd walking in the midst of the church ages, calling his sheep. And each age had a portion of those names. Luther message can't call you because that could only call those in Luther age. And it did call them. Your messenger have to catch his message and call you in your age. And that's why we under this message. Amen. I'm going a little fast here, I know, because I'm trying to, that's my background. I'm just trying to background something here in my mind. So that's what's happening back there. So when that seven seals open, now we come to another place in time where we have to understand, just like it was before the cross. Isaiah looked down and says, by his stripes we are healed. And they was looking towards the cross when the lamb would come down before his shepherds, be wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities and so on. By his stripes we are healed. But then Peter lived in that day when he came. Peter saw him beaten. Peter saw him nailed on the cross. And Peter saw the Holy Spirit came. And Peter looked back at the cross and said, by his stripes we were healed. So Luke, in Luke 27 says, when the Lord will come from heaven, see, the Son of Man will come in from heaven in power in the cloud of great glory. Luke 21, 27. And then Paul saw him, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And then John saw him coming from heaven with a cloud, clothed with a cloud. Well, they was looking down through 2,000 years, seeing if he's going to come one day. But we are living, and the thing has happened, and we are looking back at it. Amen. Why? Because we are called out of the age, and we saw the promise of God fulfilling this day. That's why he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled. What is the attraction? Prophecy becoming history. And he let us know what age we are in now. He said, you're in a bright age now. There's only one place of worship now. You're not in the Lord. He said, you've been called out in the Exodus. Amen. One like Moses coming to call you out, a pillar of fire, to separate you from all unbelief in the systems. Bring you out. And that is what has been happening. So we are on the outside of the age now. Because you had to go beyond the camp to be identified. Jesus died outside Jerusalem. And you had to go beyond the camp of the city, the most holy place, there they crucify him. You had to go beyond the camp of Laodicea, all these denominations, and come and be identified with the rejected word. Amen. Because when he's put out of the church, that was the seed coming forth from the shock. The shock pulled back and put the seed out. He said, all man has forsaken me. He was rejected. Amen. So from 1963, there was a new age open up after the seals were open. That's why it's the rising of the sun. The wave sheaf had to be waved on the morrow after the Sabbath. Now, your Sabbath is your seventh day, see? But this eighth day was coming back to the first day. Amen. And it was on the Sunday that they waved the sheaf. And the sheaf was your first ripe one out of your harvest. So when he was preaching the rising of the sun, shalom, the breaking of a new day, the rising of the sun, you had come into a new day. See? The Easter seal now. He's not dealing with six seals now. Six seals was open March 24th, 1963, and preached and explained from the Bible. But when it comes to the Easter seal, he was talking about another seal now. Under this seal is resurrection. Because under the first six seals, first seal was deception. Second seal was war and bloodshed. Third seal was famine and pestilence. Fourth seal was death. Fifth seal was the Holocaust for the Jews. Sixth seal is the tribulation period. It don't speak nothing of redemption. But the seventh seal is redemption. That six seals is just man suffering. But seven seal bring you back to Eden. Bring you back to your beginning. Take you back to where you fell from. It's a seal of redemption. Amen. So when it comes to that seventh seal, here it was that Easter seal, the resurrection don't take place under the first six seals. It don't reveal no resurrection. But the seventh seal was a threefold mystery. The Lord shall descend from heaven, a shout, a voice, and a trump. That's his coming. The coming of the Lord. He's coming for a resurrection. Something is taking place. And that is where we're being caught up by God's grace. And these things that we are being taught, we are watching it. And we are catching it. And when you see what happened through the eyes of the scriptures, that make you realize that it wasn't just a message a prophet was preaching, a little sermon, but it was a major prophet fulfilling the scriptures who was sent to open up that new age and bring the people from this age into the rapture age, into the age of union where God and man will become one. That's why I preach invisible union and all these things to unite you to Christ. Put you in the rapture age where you'll put on immortality. He called you out of dark denominationalism, a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. Amen. So then this great teaching, this is the man in this age now. This is what he must come to, because this is the man that's going in the rapture. So this is the age of perfection. This is the age of adoption. This is the age when the bride of Christ is to be formed in the word image. Now, as I said, this is not your body. Your body is see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. Your spirit is reasoning, conscience, memory, affection, and imagination. But this is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. This here is your soul. That is the seed. Now, quickening power must come upon that. Now, here, it is explained here on an age level. When I say age level, you have a Ephesus, Paul, Smyrna, Uranus. That's an age. You're doing a seven church age. But the same principle, God is building the church to perfection through seven ages. He's bringing the individual to perfection through these seven steps. So you don't get caught up in terminology. You understand the principle. Amen. Because that seed, faith, is a seed. That's why you don't add faith. It's an add to your faith. You never say add faith. It's an add to your faith. Because faith is a new birth. Your first birth, give your five senses. You're born by sex, you don't come with a sixth sense. You come with five senses. Because sex brings a body birth, a birth to the physical body, a physical birth. But the new birth is the inner man being born again. And when that soul is quickened, that's faith. You're coming to faith. That's why only those who are elected seed have that representation that could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. That's why they can get the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the cradle to the grave and still be a devil. Because there is nothing to quicken. But you have two natures in one body. You come with two natures in one body. So when that old nature is dead and God quickened that new nature, then that is faith. You were dead in sin and trespasses. How do you raise up into heavenly places? Heavenly places is your position in Christ. In other words, now you are beginning to come to the place to understand that you are not the outside, you are the inside. You are not a body with a spirit in it. You are a spirit son and a spirit daughter of a spirit God in a flesh body. That is totally different. A body with a spirit in it is a cow, a dog, a horse. That is a body with a spirit in it, because a dog could see, taste, smell, feel, and everything else. A cow can do the same thing. Because remember, your first birth is mammal. Is animal. We come, sex is the animal law reproduction. That might put you in the animal realm. But then you ought to be raised up out of the animal realm to the sixth sense of faith now. Amen. And that's the realm where Jesus was while Peter and them was in the animal realm here. That's why they say, what kind of man is this? They couldn't understand that with the five senses. But when they get the new birth, the same Peter could say, such as I have given unto you. Why? He understood his position in the world now. He was raised up to another order. Amen. Amen. So, faith. Now, everything is in that seed. You don't add nothing to a seed, really. It's out of this, out of your faith come virtue, out of your virtue come knowledge. Because you take a seed and you plant a grain of corn. Let me tell you, every corn grain, everything is going to bear is now one seed. You might open my egg and look there and you ain't see no feather, you ain't see no beak, you ain't see no eye, you ain't see no wing. I say, I like the wing. You mean I open this egg and there's no wing inside? It have a wing in there. But you can't see it. Just put a hatch and see. If it's an egg that have a germ of life in it. You watch a coconut. But every that big, long, tall trunk, every branch, every cookie, broom you make, every coconut you ever drink, isn't that one coconut you plant? Well, so it is in that seed. Everything that you are going to be is in that seed there to begin with. The position that you are going to take in the body of Christ, the measure of your gift and the capacity in which God is going to use you is all determined with what is in that seed. And when quickening power comes and quicken the seed, then there is transforming power in the seed. Now, in one place there's quickening power, in another place there's power transformation. Quickening power, the Holy Spirit coming to quicken the seed. But then transforming power is what is in the seed now, changing it from a stalk to a tassel to a shock into the grain, bring it back to the original glory. Amen. So, you see, it's not complicated. So, the thing is, that is a man that we all have to be in this hour. And you who are quickened, that's the man you're going up to be right now. Because that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the you that is part of God. The you that is God's attribute. Now watch. Because this is the word we bypass. Now if we had come at the spoken word, we'd have come straight to this. See? But we bypass that and we come to flesh. And then this was in you as a seed, dormant. See that germ of life inside of there, germ of eternal life. See that gene of God, that seed. And then God comes. You see, come like a man who has a little garden. He tills up the back of his yard and he plants his tomatoes and his cabbages and everything else. When he wants to water that, he knows it needs water. He don't want to take the water and water the road and spend all day watering the road and say, but how come this thing is coming up? That's if he don't know where he plants his seed. But if the man who plant the seed know which dirt he put the seed in, wouldn't he know where to go and throw the water? Well, exactly. That's why I said the Holy Spirit hunts you out. Because he knows who have a gene. God isn't going to waste his time trying to get a person with no life to manifest the word. God knows who have the representation. He knows you need a revelation. Moses didn't go all in China and India and Africa looking for somebody to deliver. When he got his commission, he went straight to Egypt because he knew where the seed was in bondage. He knew where the deliverance had to come. Amen. Amen. And that's why the prophet said, this world will find the predestinated. And he says, like a sperm, that sperm, but there's millions of sperm and millions of eggs, but that sperm will go and pass that egg and hook up with the egg. Amen. Why? It will go direct to the one it's supposed to hook up with. And that way, come to all your neighborhood, bypass the neighbor, bypass the school teacher, bypass the religious man, I'd hook up with you and pull you out. Amen. What it was God, grace coming to you, God in your life. Amen. Bringing you to where you ought to be. And that thrills your heart. Because you see, God loves you. You see, God cares for you. You don't have to struggle. I want to get justified. God comes and justifies you. I want to get sanctified. No, God comes and the only one way to sanctify people is the Father sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. God don't have another way to sanctify nobody. Jesus said, the word I have spoken to you have made you clean. You are washed by the washing of the water of the word. Just sit under the word and let it wash you, amen. Separate you from the unclean thing. Amen. You see, you look at the word and you realize he is the author and he is the finisher. And he walk every day. Like Naomi told Ruth, that man will not rest this day until he completely redeem you. Amen. He's interested in your redemption. Glory. So this great thing, this age, all of us who come from thought to flesh, as elected, we must come back to the word image. We are ordained to come to it. This age will last so long and only long as until the last one comes to its maturity. Because that's the objective for the age. That everyone must come to that perfection. The perfection of the place in the body. The position that they have to take. Amen. Glory. So you don't measure that perfection by, I ain't speak nothing to existence. You know, one part of the body does speak. He said, one part is prayer, one part is cast on the devils. He said, this woman's struggling. Oh, God, love the devil. No, he said, you just pray. Somebody else will cast on the devil. Amen. The body, you see, you have different members. God put different. He said, people are bringing themselves under strain, trying to manifest something that they call for. You see, because when you read the book of Acts, you say, boy, we're going to have a book of Acts here again, you know. And then some poor sister now opened the book of Acts from chapter 1 to chapter 28 and didn't see no woman do nothing outside me being a prophecy one time in a house or something. Exactly. You see Philip, you see Stephen, you see Peter, and you see Paul, and that's the whole book of Acts. And Agabus. Exactly. You see nobody else do nothing. You had 12 apostles. What do the rest of them do? You see it mentioned there. So sometimes if we don't watch the word carefully, we pressure up ourselves. You see, and then try to pull things, and all we got to do is just walk in the word. Amen. Hallelujah. God, who's the head of their body, amen. When he wants to do something, but he moves it, he sends a thought to what part of their body must act and function, amen. And they carry out the instruction of their head. Amen. Their body can't do nothing outside their head. Glory. And that's why the headship have come down and take control of his body. See? Now look. So this age is where the word becoming flesh and the flesh becoming word. And Brother Bram drew this pyramid to illustrate how we are going to come from the word seed to the word image. So you have the word seed. That seed is transforming to the image of the word. Then that word image goes to our word body. Amen? Then that word body comes back and pick up your new body, your resurrected body out of the earth, and that's a glorified condition. Amen? Your first one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, starts it. It comes to the soul. Amen? Then that soul is changed from glory unto glory. And then you get your second robe, and your second robe is your theophany. And then your third robe is your resurrected body. And then three robes is what bring you in condition for the new civilization. See, that's your glorified condition, your theophany and your resurrected body. Now watch. So as he was illustrating this here for us, he was showing us the image of God, and the image of God, don't get confused with it, it's just the glory of God is just the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we beholding the glory of the Lord is change from glory unto glory until we are changed into the image. See, you beholding the glory and you change into it and you become the same image that you are beholding. But the thing is, you have to behold it before you can be changed into it. When the people saw Moses came out that great glory, they said, oh, put a veil upon it. We can't look upon it. Well, when they veil it, they couldn't be changed into it. Because you have to behold it to change into it. And sometimes when the word comes out, it's too glorious to people. Boy, they shy away from it. But you shouldn't just shy away from it. Just receive it. I wanted to push another seed in, but God lead me this way. See? Don't veil, put a veil on it. No. See, just keep beholding it, and you'll be changed into it. Amen. Jesus said, Father, they who beheld my glory, I pray that you will give them the same glory that I and them may be one. See? And then Paul comes and says, we behold that glory and we are changed into it from glory unto glory. So after those seven seals are open, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, then Revelation 10, 8 to 11, that's the redeemed people. That's the bride who is in that church age after the seals open. Revelation 10, 1 to 7 is the opening of the seven seals. You understand that? Revelation 10, 1, he's coming up with a book in his hand. Is that right? That is the opening of the seals in reality form in the days of the seventh angel, Revelation 10, 7. This day is this scripture fulfilled. That was fulfilled in this day. That's the revealing of the Son of Man. Then after that seventh seal book is open, then the redeemed, Revelation 10, 8, 11. Here is the Redeemer, Revelation 10, what? Revelation 10, 2, he has the book of redemption. Revelation 10, 8, 11 is the redeemed whose names are in that book. So the Redeemer is coming with the book of redemption in the day of redemption to claim the redeemed ones. The whole thing is redemption. Amen. But what's something? These scriptures he put inside of here. 2 Peter 1, 3. See, that is just Peter saying, add to your faith, virtue, these things be in you. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If this is a bung in you, you shall never fall. You will see afar off. Amen. You have it, but you want it to abound in you. Amen. Now look. But there's Matthew 5, 48 in there too. There's Hebrews 11, 32 to 14 there. There's Acts 7, 44 to 47 there. All them scriptures he put in there because that man is to fulfill these scriptures. These are the scriptures that man must fulfill. Because 2 Peter 1, 1 to 8 is only the nature, speaking of the nature, those seven virtues. But Matthew 5, 14 says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is that right? Then Acts 7:44 to 7, Peter said, God will dwell in tabernacle made with hands. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? He was singing that tonight. Amen. See? And that you are the temple. See, how be the Most High don't dwell in tabernacle made with hands. So that is the living tabernacle of the living God. That God will come down, walk in your feet, speak to your lips, work with your hands, think with your mind. Amen. Ephesians 4:11 to 15. That is a fivefold ministry to what? Bring the church unto a perfect man. To the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Unto the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ. So that message is to bring that church to the knowledge of the Son of God. To know him. Not know about him, to know him. And in that day you will know I and you in me. Amen. And there's a knowledge you can know before union, and there's a knowledge after union. But that knowledge there is not talking about a knowledge before union, it's talking about a knowledge after you come into union. Amen. To know him, Jesus said, his life. Coming to a perfect man. Hebrews 11:30-40. When the church come to perfection, it will bring the resurrection. They without us will not be made perfect. So this church must come to perfection to bring that resurrection. Isaiah 6:1-8. What it is Isaiah's vision in the temple where he saw the seraphim with two wings over his face, two wings over his feet, and he fly with two wings. Showing that how God prepares his servant who is to do him the service according to his will. And in this day, God has a people who is to do him a service. He will be the living God in that living tabernacle finishing up that very work. He's the one to raise the dead. See? When they hear the voice of the Son of God, they will live. At the last day, I will raise them up. He does all three things. He brings the shout. He brings the voice to raise them up. So there will be God in his own people. In action with reverence and humility. Fulfilling his own word. So that life in us, which is God's own life, living out this word. Then you realize it's not a church thing. That is what the prophet had in his mind. He was revealing the scriptures to us. To show us God is going to take a people. Brother, God is going to form, build his own temple. God is going to step into his masterpiece. God is going to live his life through his masterpiece. Amen. God will vindicate every promise in his last days. It will be God and man. He's going to come in this age. And friends, when we look and we see the time that we are living in, and we see for the past 30 years, God opening the seven seals to reveal to the redeemed in the age at the end of the seven seals that we couldn't be a good Pentecostal, we couldn't be a good Methodist. It's a different age. It's an astronaut age. Amen. Not an aeroplane, it's an astronaut age. It's not a shock age, it's a wheat age where you come back to the grain, the ripened grain again. Amen. You come back into the image of God because the seed is the image of the life. Amen. Now look. So this age is an age of adoption. It's an age of perfection. It's an age when the bride is to be formed in the word image again. And that perfection, as we take the scripture here tonight, that perfection is foreshadowed in the Bible in Joseph. Joseph represents perfection. Let me show you. You see the book of Genesis, it starts off with creation. And God built from botany life, marine life, bird life, animal life, unto God's own life in Adam. And from Genesis 1 to Genesis 7 is from creation to the flood. Because Genesis 6, Noah goes in the ark. Genesis 7, God destroys the earth. So the Bible in Genesis 1 to 7 traces the genealogy from Adam straight to Noah. And God destroys the earth. And Genesis 9, Noah comes out of the flood. Genesis 8, Genesis 9, it traces from Noah to the Tower of Babel, where God scatters all the nations into all parts of the earth. But from Genesis 12 to Genesis 50, it's dealing with four people. So from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, it's a direct line from Adam straight to Abraham. Because God's purpose was to be established in Abraham. But God only gave the background to to bring it from Adam to Abraham, that you might see God's purpose from creation coming directly to Abraham. That's why I give you that history. And the next 38 chapters deal with four men. Because from Genesis 12 to Genesis 25, it deals with Abraham. From Genesis 26, it goes into Isaac to about 28. Then from 28, it starts with Jacob, and it goes all the way. And Genesis 37, it brings in Joseph, and it goes all the way to Genesis 50. And those four men represented four foundations. Faith in Abraham, love in Isaac, grace in Jacob, and Joseph with perfection, because he's a perfect type of Christ. He come and revealed salvation to the whole world. He was one of the love of the Father, hated by his brethren and so on. Amen. So in the seed book of the Bible, which is Genesis, where God, mystery in his mind, is being laid in seed form, he lays these things out in Genesis here. And as he lays there, we can look at it, and we can see that God had a purpose. And that purpose is developed all the way through the Bible. Because when Jesus came, he was the seed of Abraham. And then all the nations of the world was to be blessed in Abraham's seed. And then you become heirs of the promises because you are Abraham's seed. So the whole purpose is locked up with Abraham right here. Because Abraham is a perfect type of the church. And Abraham right here is a perfect type of the last day church too. So here we can see then how God in his mind, in his thinking, lays these things out in the Bible for us. You have to think deep now. Don't just sit down there and daydream now. Get it. Follow me. I'm trying to lay some background here for you. So when it comes to Joseph here, then Joseph in the Bible, from how I give you the background, you can see it's not just a little story. It's not just a Jewish piece of Jewish history. It's something of a mystery in God's word. How we get this Gentile wife. Let me just give you a little type of it. Now, Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. Now, to show you the perfection of the life in Jerusalem, I shouldn't even be going in this because this will take up our next 15 minutes. But Joseph, in his life, he was a perfect type of Christ. You know, he came forth seeing visions and dreams and all these things, could interpret these things, hated by his brethren. Then Joseph, he was sold into slavery and so on, he ended up in the prison. And when he was in prison, he was a perfect type of Christ right there on the cross. Because there's where the butler was saved and the baker was lost. Tied in the two thieves on the cross. When he came out of the... Now, that was what? The Feast of the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Is that right? Then when Joseph came out from prison, he ascended to the throne of Pharaoh. That was Feast of the First Fruits, the Resurrection. Right? Then Feast of Pentecost, he got a Gentile wife. Is that right? Then Feast of Trumpets, his brothers gathered back together, but they didn't know him yet. Then the Day of Atonement, his brothers recognize him when he revealed himself to them, and they all begin to weep and cry, realizing that it's the Joseph they rejected. Then Feast of Tabernacles, when Joseph and his Gentile bride and his brothers, brother was in the earth there, and everything prospered and blossomed. Right? So we see all seven feasts in the life of Joseph. How Joseph dismissed his bride to the palace between his brothers being gathered and him revealing himself to his brothers. Now, if you take the life of Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth as Son of Man was Feast of the Passover, he died on the cross, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, his body was broken, Feast of the First Fruits, he raised in the resurrection. Then seven church ages was Feast of Pentecost. That's from Revelation 2 to Revelation 3. See? Feast of Pentecost. Then Feast of Trumpets is Revelation chapter 8 to chapter 11. See? Then the great trumpet when Joseph comes in the millennium, all these things, where he's going to reign, because Feast of the Passover was his death. Feast of Tabernacles is what? The millennium, Christ's reign. So it's speaking from Christ's death to Christ's reign. Revelation chapter 2 is showing the Feast of Pentecost, the seven church ages. Revelation 20 is showing the millennium. So from chapter 2 to chapter 20 is tied into Joseph's life. So if you understand the mystery of Joseph's life, you can see the whole book of Revelation, the church ages, the trumpets, the vials, the thunders, everything is in Joseph's life. But we are not looking at that tonight so much. I just want to show you how the life of Joseph was a mystery because it typed Christ. And Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But we want to look at it from a more personal standpoint tonight and see how God communicated to him certain revelations about his position that he was going to come into in the age that he lives in. And the things that he had to go through from him receiving faith until he was placed positionally with all authority. And show that God, when God gives you faith, faith is a revelation. Your new birth is what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. But a revelation, but Jesus Christ is that capstone. You are getting the revelation of your perfection, your adoption, not fully revealed to you. As faith, you're catching it. And then you keep walking into it, walking into it, walking into it, until you become one with that headstone, and then it caps off the perimeter of your life. Then that's your placing. So your faith is really a revelation of your placing. Let me show that in the Bible. When Samuel came to David and he called David, he revealed to David he was going to be a king. Now, David was not yet a king. He had to come from the sheep court to the throne. And he had to come through many years of experiences before he take the throne. Until he come to fulfill his position in that age revealed to him by the prophet. Amen. Then he was placed positionally. Then he had authority that went with the position. Amen. Like Elisha. Elisha had to come into a position. But he got an anointing. And he began to follow Elijah. But then he came into a place where he was placed positionally and had a double portion and done a double portion of the works that Elijah did. Amen. Just like Caleb and them, they received a revelation from Moses what the position was in the land. Then they had to fight to take the position. Then finally, they took the position and they displayed the position that they come into. So it's always you have to get a revelation of your position and then be brought into it until you stand in that position there. Okay. All right, we're making some progress there. So God was revealing some things to Joseph here. And as we look at it, we can see how God worked in his life to bring to pass these promises which he revealed to Joseph. Now, Joseph was represented perfection, and this is the age of perfection. Because we had Luther age, just shall live by faith, Wesley age, Philadelphia, brotherly love, and so on. See? Then grace to the Pentecostals, and then this age is perfection. The revelation of Jesus Christ coming back. See? This time of famine, all these things that we're going to look at tonight and see how it's happening. But I want you to notice something in Genesis 37, as we read. The Bible said Joseph was dreaming these dreams. And the first dream he dreamt was, he said, behold, we are binding sheaves in the field. And my sheaf arose and stood up upright, and your sheaves round about made obeisance to my sheaf. No, you don't have a sheaf until it's harvest time. And a sheaf is the wheat come back into its original condition. And Joseph was seeing himself as a sheaf. He was seeing himself formed back in the image and having dominion, having authority. So he was catching. No, he was not that yet. But it was a prophetic vision of his future. It was God's foreknowledge showing him the plan of God for his life. And he was catching that, and that was bringing faith. And once he saw then what God taught concerning him was, he knew what his future was going to be, and he knew what he had to come into one day. So he was receiving the vision in one season. So then he came again, and he dreamed the next dream. No, you can't dream a dream. Prophet said, if I tell you, go and dream me a dream, you're lying down, and she's bound on to your sheaf. Go and dream that. But you can't dream that. But God was communicating his word to him in symbol form. It was a mystery of God. It was the word for the age. It was sealed up. The seal broke. Joseph on the earth, gifted, catches the mystery under that seal. He saw the plan of God for his own life. What are you catching tonight? Something about the past church ages? Something about the millennium down the road somewhere? Or are you seeing something about your own life when the word come to you? Is the word revealing to you your future? Showing you God's will for you? Those who found you, he predestined you. Those who predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he had already glorified. And you are predestined to be conformed to that image. You see it, and you are walking into it. Now, what's something? Then he saw another. Then God gave him another revelation. And this time he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars born on the star. So when he caught that mystery, he said, I'll preach it. And when you begin to preach that mystery, what it begin to happen? It begin to cause a religious disturbance. Because they get upset. They say, what are you saying? We're going to bow down to you? You're going to reign over us? You're going to come and rule us? They didn't like that. But what he was catching was the prophetic word. It was coming by sovereign grace. He wasn't pulling it out of God. God was giving it. And he was only a mouthpiece to confess what God was saying. He said, I'm not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I can only say what the vision say. Though it tarry, it will yet speak in the appointed time. Amen. And he had to speak that vision. And then his father come and say, he said, what? You saying that we're going to bow down to you, your mother and I, and your brothers? He said, boy, get next to yourself. Proud. But then when the boy walk out, the father say, oh, wait a minute. God showed me one time while I was even a rascal, thief dating and running away, God showed me a ladder. And I climbed a ladder and come up one with God. So why should I despise the boy when the boy is even a far better boy at his age than I was at my age? And then after all, these gifts just pass from one to the next. Like Paul told Timothy, had the faith of the unfeigned faith of mother Lois and grandmother Eunice. See? So then he realized, now, well, look, it has something to do. So he began to maybe think about it after a while. But watch what it was. Here was Joseph now catching the vision, seeing himself in the vision. Now, the thing that was causing the problem was, when he see the vision, he was seeing the father part. He was seeing the mother part. He was seeing the brother's part. But that wasn't the thing that was stimulating him. What was stimulating him was when he saw his part. And when he began to speak it, he was making it personalized and putting the emphasis on his part. Because faith is recognizing your part of the world. It was wonderful to see Paul part and Irenaeus part and Martin part and Luther part. It was wonderful to see the Jewish prophets part. It was wonderful to see Malachi 4 part. Amen. It's wonderful to see the 144,000 part. But between the Gentile prophets and the Jewish prophets, there's a part in the air. Amen. And when they begin to catch that part of a bride eating the book, amen. And this is the secret, the word is in the bride. Brother, she's going to bring forth that word and she will prophesy again. It begin to cause a disturbance. But watch, it was the same promise, but came in different symbols. One time it came as sheaf, one time it, and the wheat. How many know the wheat is the entirety of the word? And the wheat is the entirety of the life. And how many know that the heavens declare the glory of God? And they unto it utterance speech and eyes unto night assured knowledge. And how many know Christ is the glory of God because that's the first Bible, the Zodiac. So he was catching the word in symbol form. And no matter in what form the word came, whether as wheat, whether as moon and stars, yet it was still speaking about one promise. And whether he show you Rahab in the judgment hour displaying the token, or Esther, but after Vashti is rejected and before Haman persecution come, how she goes into the presence of the king and she receives the scepter and so on. Amen. Or Samson doing the greater works long after the eyes are gone, when the new crop comes over the head in the judgment hour, is the same promise. Amen. Whether he show you thy whole body shall be full of light, whether it's Gideon in the harvest time, having a ministry of the sword of the Lord after the prophet and before the squeeze come is one promise. So no matter in what form he reveal it, he was bringing the boy to see his position in the word. So he received the vision. And after he received the vision, he came under expectation for the fulfillment of the vision. And Genesis 37, we see him, he's seen the vision, he's catching it. We see him preaching it. But Genesis 42, he was sitting down there and they're walking, famine in the land. He had done gone through prison, he had done gone through his false accusation, he had come out of the pit, he went through his days of slavery. Now he is placed positionally with all authority. Is that right? And in that season, he saw them walking. And when they're walking, they bow down to him. And the Bible says, and he remembered his dreams. In other words, he knows in the vision now. Amen. This is what I told him. Prophecy is becoming history. He began to recognize that vision was being made actual in his experience. Right there. It was coming to pass in the present tense. And though he was recognizing it was coming to pass, and they was part of the vision, doing exactly what he told them they have to do, they couldn't see they was doing it. And they didn't even know they was fulfilling the vision. Now the prophet says, he said, when God show you something, a vision of his word, and he shows you something he's going to do, and you see everything set in place, he said, you know, you begin to get excited. He said, like, for example, when he saw the boy raising, dead boy in Finland being raised. Here he was in America, and he had his vision one day in his hotel somewhere. And he saw these mountains, and there's no place in America where he knew there's mountains like that. And then he noticed this boy who was killed dressed a certain way. You know, the long stockings and different like the old days, you know. And how his hair was cut and everything else. And the side of the road, he saw the cars, different type of cars and everything else. And he saw the soldiers there, dressed how they dressed in the uniform, Russian uniform and so on. He said, maybe in a foreign land somewhere. He said, I'll be one day. A little boy is going to be raised. He says, everybody here, he said, I want you to write on the flyleaf of your Bible. Wrote it. He didn't know the time. In 2 years' time, that will come to pass. He didn't know which country. He said, well, I'm going to go in a certain country and wait there for it to happen. He didn't know. But he saw it. And he said, I know them visions is perfect. Now, I want to bring a thought here. So he saw that in the vision. He didn't see Jack Moore raising the boy. He didn't see Gordon Lindsay raising the boy. He saw himself raising the boy. He saw himself living out something in the word, in a certain place, under certain conditions. Even though he looked at his own son and said, I feel like I do that now. He said, but anyhow, I saw myself anointed doing it. I don't know how I'm going to come in and do that one day, but if God showed me that, God is his own interpreter. Amen. When I see Enoch going up and gravity holding him down, I see myself going up. I don't know how it will happen, but I see me, I going up. Amen. When I see Jesus going through walls and things, if I try it, no, I can't do it. But I know one day I'll go through them walls. It won't hold me back. And I know that he showed it to me in the word. And I come, he did somehow. So I'm following the leadership of his Holy Spirit in the word, knowing that's his program for this day, because that's the place of the bride. She cannot go to the wedding supper except she goes with a new body. Amen. We have to go there by divine transportation. So somewhere between here and the resurrection, we are passing the coming to certain things. It is going to be something in the word that is going to be revealed. Because it ain't going to be nothing outside the word. Because promises of the word to be interpreted in your life. Amen. So he said, oh, they all wrote it. All the time, the boy is about 10 years. Nice boy growing up. Maybe the parents are plans. He says, well, please, we're going to send this boy to college. We have to get to the education. We'll send him to university, so and so. He'll be a nice boy. And they had all the plans for the son. They didn't know he was going to get killed in 2 years' time. They didn't know a man already see the nice boy who'd have all the plans done dead already. They don't even know that. But here is a man, a seer. God know that boy quite there. And that boy reached there, and God done say that boy is going to die. God don't have the man who's going to drive the car and bounce that boy too. Already. And God knows for that boy to raise, he has to get that prophet who here who have no plans to go in that country because he don't know the country. God knows to move around and get him in that country just at the time of the accident. But isn't God great? Let me tell you, when you see God's word and you come under the power of the word, you can walk in the word with assurance, knowing he got the whole world in his hands. He rules in the affairs of man. There's nothing outside of his control. 2 years pass. He ended up in the Scandinavian countries having meetings. So one day after one of the meetings, here we come along the road, walking along the road, and we see this accident on the side of the road. He says, and you know, all these people galloping, just crying, weeping, and everything else. Big scene, commotion. Two dead bodies, two little boys laying on the side of the road there. And he walks across. Take a look. Kind of thing, so I had a little compassion, and he go to walk away. He said, while I was walking away, I felt a hand touch me. He said, I look around, so thinking it was one of the brothers. Sometimes he get touched, and he wouldn't even realize it's him, he thinking it was one of the brothers. So he didn't get excited, self. You mean God right there touching you? You excited? Because you don't know. See what I mean? You don't know. So he turned around and said, Jack? No, Jack. He wasn't none of them. He said, but as I turned, he said, I saw the mountains. And it struck him something in his subconscious where he had seen before. Bring up that memory. Holy Spirit will bring things back to remembrance. But that subconscious full of things. For about 48 years on the earth, full of things. That Holy Spirit pick out that healing vision and bring it right back before the eyes. He said, I see it somewhere. Let me see, I saw that hill somewhere before. As it turned so again, he watched the boy, he watched the car, he watched the haircut, he watched the soldiers. He said, if I could only explain to you, he said, the feeling when God show you something and you see everything placed positionally exactly the way God said. But he said, right there, he said, my faith became anointed and it moved me out into the next sphere. He said, I turn on and I tell the people, I said, you people here, 2 years ago, he says, God, show me this boy that was going to be raised from the dead. He said, look, all these brothers here have it written the flyleaf of the Bible. He said, Jack, open your Bible and read it out. He said, if this boy is raised here in 2 minutes, I'm run me out of feeling I'm a false prophet. He said, my faith was so anointed because everything in the vision was exactly the way it was. He knew what he had to do because he had already seen the foreknowledge of God. He had already seen himself doing it before. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I stood there. I look at the boy and I called him. He said, the boy jumped up. He said, people started to faint them, finish soldiers and Russian soldiers, hug up each other, started to wipe the tears and everything else. They say, we will serve a God like that. They saw reality. What it was? He had seen the vision. He was under expectation for 2 years for the fulfillment of the vision. But then one day, he was in the vision. And he didn't even know he was in the vision. He was walking away from the vision. And the Holy Spirit touched him. Amen. When the Holy Spirit touched him, it was to wake him up. Where are you walking away from? You're in the vision. Amen. It's coming to pass. It's not down the road no more. It's right here today. Step into it. Amen. Begin to act out what you had seen yourself doing all these years. You can live it out this very moment. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, another time we was out on a hunt. He said, God had shown me a vision. My mother was going to die. He said, God so loved me, he wanted to console me a little bit, knowing I love to hunt. And he's going to take Mama. And Mama was the tight post of the family. So God gave me this vision. He said, to kind of settle me a little bit. And God showed me I was going to get this big caribou, like a big deer, and a 9-foot grizzly bear. He said, well, I testify everywhere I went. You know that God is going to give that to me on a hunt one day. So he says, yeah, he went way up in Alaska, way up in the woods there, and he hit the brothers. But in the vision, he had seen one of the brothers with a checkered shirt. And when he went up in the place, he find this locality look something like in the vision. So he wanted his confirmation. He didn't see the animal yet, but he find the vegetation, the surroundings. Yeah. The number of brothers who is there. He says, anybody have a checkered shirt? He said, no, nobody have no checkered shirt. He said, okay. He said, well, I know the vision is right, but maybe they know the place and the time, but it's going to come to pass. But, you know, he couldn't get his feeling out of him. Now is the time. So he come back in, nobody have a checkered shirt or nothing at all. Then the guide now, who live up there, he said, Brother Branham, he says, look, I was a guide here for so much years. He said, I have never seen that kind of animal. He said, that chocolate brown. He said, they're more light brown on this side of the country. He says, we never see nothing like that up here. He said, anyhow, just leave it alone. God knows what he's doing. So he says, he was on the hunt one day, and he look out there, and the Holy Spirit attract his attention to something. And he said, let me have binoculars. And he look out there, and he watch the animal. He said, but that is exactly the animal. And the brothers, he said, Brother Bram, but somebody have to have a checkered shirt, that is the animal. He said, and he turned there, here was the brother with the checkered shirt. You know, Brother Biscoe. He said, here's the brother with the checkered shirt. I remember I preached that in his church in 1983. It never meant nothing to him. Just a vision and a checkered shirt. And when I preached it, oh, it struck him. He realized how that checkered shirt are tied into the vision, these things. But you could walk with the prophet right there. It don't mean you're going to catch it. And right there, you know, the Brother Branham says, the day before, the brother was riding across this creek, and all of a sudden the brother fell off his horse. And I always say, I believe right there had some angels. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, now it's time to trim off the horse. Trim in the water. And when they opened it, when he had to get a change of clothes, he opened his bag, and there was his shirt. His wife, he said, when they left home to go on the hunt, she wanted to put that shirt. And he said, no, that shirt is old and worn. I wear that so many times before. Put the next shirt. But she, something make her darn the shirt and pack it still in the bag. Why? Because a prophet had seen him wearing that shirt in that vision. But it's not your free will. It's God's sovereignty. Beyond what you know and beyond what decision you want to make. God overrules in those things. He said, the possibility is stronger, your free will or God's sovereignty? God's sovereignty is stronger than your free will any day. You are only chosen because he chose you before the foundation of the world. He said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And ordained that you should bring forth fruit. Amen. And brother, here it was when he seen that. He knew he was in the vision then. He said, where we were standing, here was the animal on the other side. So much hunters down inside there. We had to run all the way around the mountain. He said, but I said, that is my animal. God gave it to me. I am going to have it. He said, nobody could shoot it. And brother, he went and he killed the animal. And when he killed the animal, he knew that was only the first fold of the vision. It had to unfold into something else. Because there's another part of the vision where he's going to get this 9-foot grizzly bear. And he told him, he said, this grizzly bear is going to come before we get to the brothers. So he said, here there was up in the high timber, you know, way up high. And then they begin to come down and the vegetation begin to change. And the vegetation changed from all the big, tall pine trees. It come into a little shrub. And then it come into about grass 4 inches high. And then while they're down there 4 inches high now, they can see we got miles to the south, miles to the east, miles to the west, miles to the north. He said, because the grass was just 4 inches high all the way through. And the brother said, Brother Branham, look, the brothers over there. He said, where is the bear going to come from? But watch something. He knew he was already in the vision. Oh, I'm saying that for a purpose, friend. You see, Revelation 10 is a vision. That's a word vision of a blast on 7 angels. One fold was fulfilled. It's the angel bringing the open book and the prophet preaching the mysteries. Another fold is the bride eating the book and prophesying again. But it's the same vision, but it's two folds of the vision. Amen. Hallelujah. And but if we know the vision already started and the first fold is fulfilled, then we are coming down to that second fold of the vision. We must recognize when that vision is going to come to pass in our very lives if we are part of that bride. The brother says, where is that bear? He said, a 9-foot bear you're talking about? When he's up in the high woods, maybe a 9-foot bear could hide behind all them big 80-foot pine trees. Or them high vegetation, but now 4 inches high. Where is it going to come from? He said, God is able to create a bear and put it there. Amen! But a God brought that bear up out of 4 inches high grass. I went to Tucson and I walk on the very skin. We see it. It's right there. As a memorial of what we read in Why Christ Speak, Wisdom of His Faith, all these messages where he spoke about it is there. See the Kaibo, the other tape we measured is still 42 inches. What it was? He had seen the vision. Then he came under expectation for the vision. But then when he had seen, he didn't know he was in the vision. But when he saw the checkered shirt, he knew he was in the vision. The vision was coming to pass. It was a different anointing. He said the brother was hoping the bear would be there. But I knew it would be there because the vision couldn't fail. And he saw himself shooting the bear. He said, the brother said, Brother Bram, I don't want to be on my lap. He said, please. He said, shoot it in the back. He said, you know that gun is a small gun already. He said, but in the vision, I have to shoot it in the heart. He said, well, I'm trusting you if you believe that vision. Bang, through the heart. He said, the bear come running, whack, and fall at the feet. Amen. 9-foot bear, fall at the feet. What it was? The vision. He knew. Where did he get the faith from? He recognized he was in the vision. So here was Joseph. I'm trying to show you, he was catching a vision of himself doing something. Then what? He was under expectation for it to come to pass. The Bible in Psalms 105 says, and the word of the Lord tried him until the time came. Amen. What word tried him? The word he was talking about. He was tried on his own revelation. The things that he believed about his own self that was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit who spoke those things to him. Amen. He didn't make it up in his mind. It wasn't a figment of his imagination. It was a direct word from God being revealed. It produced a faith on the inside. And he spoke and testified of it. And one day he saw himself acting it out. He was in the vision. Look at Brother Branham testifying. I'm going to meet seven angels out in Arizona, drive 2,000 miles from Jeffersonville to Arizona, go there hunting. And while he's sitting down there hunting one day, pulling the cockle bow off his leg, he saw like little dots up in the sky, and he heard a blast, and he knew he was in the vision. He had preached in the tabernacle, is this the time, sirs? He had explained from the Bible, and then he went to Arizona. He said, because in the vision, I could see it was supposed to be in Arizona. And he went there. And then he who was under expectation for the vision was now in the vision. When he came back to the tabernacle and was preaching, he said, something is going on here all week. He said, but I wonder if any of you know what is happening. He was in the vision. And nobody knew he was in the vision. Because they couldn't tell the word by what is happening. It was coming to pass and he was living it out. He was under the inspiration of it. So catch that. So God then is giving visions to us. God revealing Sarah. Laughing in unbelief, but Elohim standing with his back turned to the tent, saying, I will come again at the time of life. I will return. And then we see Sarah coming back young. We see Sarah bringing forth the promised son. Amen. We see Ruth coming in barley harvest, coming back to receive full redemption, going through the stages in the harvest time of justification, making a decision, sanctification, serving, Pentecost, but a restoration gives, marking the spot where they rest in the air, and then being rewarded, coming to union with Boaz, to a marriage into oneness. We see Esther, after Vashti was rejected, coming in the seventh day to the presence of the king. What is that? Was that little messages God was giving us? Oh, God was showing us word visions about ourselves, about our future, that the hour that is going to come, what the bride will come into, what the bride is going to live out. Amen. And when God begins to reveal to you, and you see like Rahab, you holding your token, but then judgment striking all around, but your family saved, yeah, because you are holding, you apply the word. Amen. Hallelujah. When it's like Ruth, but are you coming not even knowing left nor right, which is the right field or nothing? And you see the supernatural grace guide you into a certain field. You meet the Lord of the harvest in that field. He begins to give you a commanded blessing. Amen. You begin to realize the footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. Look at Rebecca. She came out the other day. She didn't go and plant to meet the messenger, but the messenger was right there praying. Amen. The patch cross. What God was showing us. God was showing us word visions about ourselves. That we're going to see the bride is going to come in. Amen. But the same camel that she water will pack it to meet the unseen bridegroom. We see the same bride who received the messenger, them spies. But is going to display the token, the judgment hour. The same root that came in there is going to come into oneness with Boaz. The same Esther, but that was chosen after Vashti was rejected on the seventh day. That same Esther is going to come in and manifest the half of Ahasuerus' kingdom. Ask what you will. Amen. And to see all of that was prophetic visions concerning a people who will be on the earth in the last days. That wasn't for the seven church ages. That was for people in the last days at the end of the Pentecostal age. Let me tell you, the reason people have that plan the next future is because they didn't get the word revelation of the future yet. When Moses saw his future revealed by God, he conked all the things that Egypt done. Paul conked all done. But they figure, I worked so hard to get this, I had to give it up now. Nonsense! They laid aside, amen! Because they saw something greater. Let me just, unbelief just can't give it up. Amen! Moses, but esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures. Oh, you have a little faith, man, here you, amen! But brother, when you see a position in the word, they step out there into that place because they know they'll be the most miserable person if they don't fulfill that word. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The only thing that could bring satisfaction, only thing that could give you power to live over overcoming life is to walk in that vision of the part of the word you are. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we've been seeing these visions. Then we come under expectation for the fulfillment of the vision. But let me tell you, you have to recognize now when we are in the vision. Because he couldn't act to raise the boy until he knew he was in the vision.
But that angel put his hand on his shoulder and began to quicken certain things to him to cause him to perceive he was in the vision. Bible says David perceived that God had made him king over Israel. And he recognized this is what Samuel had talked about. And now see how it's coming to pass. And now see how much years it had to take. And now see all that I had to pass through before coming to this spot. But now I know this is what God has spoken about coming to pass. It's been made a reality. They live in that realm. It was perfect faith. Because they're walking out a clear understanding of the revelation of God's will coming to pass in their own life. Now watch. So that same faith you get in here, faith. It's not just baptism in Jesus' name. You've seen yourself one day perfect. You've seen yourself one day change place, positionally. Joseph has seen himself on a throne. His brothers bowed down to him and all these things. And he's preaching that. He's saying, I'm going to place one day that's going to happen. Maybe don't look like it now. The vision is for a point of time, but I'm looking for it to come to pass. It will come to pass. Look, young God, try me. And when he was in the prison, it looked like it can't come to pass now. You might never come out of here. He tried all the little politics and things to come out. The butler got to wipe it out with the bottle of mine. The butler forget him clean. See? And brother, all that time, Bible said the word of the Lord tried him until the time. Because it was for an appointed time. But when he was walking out and he came in the presence of Pharaoh, brother, oh man, he knew he was walking into a place and he was walking to a new stage of his ministry. Watch him. His father first tried him with his brothers, put him in charge of his brothers. Watch over your brothers and them. Go and bring back a report. Then after he was sold, Potiphar got him. Potiphar swam in his house, put him in charge of his house. A little bigger responsibility. Then he got falsely accused. He went into prison. The prison officer watched him. Saw something in the boy, put him in charge of the prison. Then Pharaoh, when he got into prison, Pharaoh put him in charge over all Egypt. His whole life, God was training him with responsibility, bringing him, he was faithful in the least, was going to be faithful in more. And God was only adding to it, bringing it on a higher level all the time until he come into the placing to take that place that God was revealing to him years ago. He was coming into it. Let me tell you, when you think God come and call you through this message and that seven seal break to you, you think was a message you get to go and argue with people who ain't seen the seven seal now? But hey, forget that. That plain church. It's God that'll show you something about yourself. It's God that'll bring you to a spot in your life. It's God want to show you as one of his attributes. He had a plan for you. It's God begin to put sense and meaning to the things that look insignificant and without meaning in your life that you come through all them years. It's God begin to reveal how his purpose unfolded down through these things. How he was behind it all. He was there all the time. Amen. Waiting patiently in love. Walking, bringing you to the spot where you ordain you to be. Amen. All things working together for good to bring you to that spot. Amen. And look at it. He would see his father part in the vision. Oh, the vision is great, but what good will it be to us if we only see Brother Abraham as a prophet and Moses and Elijah are going to come for the Jews, boy, and Jesus is God, boy, and the millennium will be great. And we don't see our part. But when God was communicating the vision to him, God is really showing him his part. His part was the focal point. The rest of things is only a wrong, so his part can be expressed. Amen. Glory. But that's why it winds up with a bride. God even took the prophet off the scene so he could wind up with a bride. The restoration of the bride tree. It was a bride that fell back in the Garden of Eden. And his victory is to bring that bride back to her rightful position. She'll be a super race in the last days. A super church in the last days. And that mystery has been revealed unto the book. And God giving you visions about it, that you can see your name, your life, your future laying there, represented in the Bible. Amen. When he saw a sheep, God didn't show him a shock bowing down to his shock. God showed him the harvest time, a specific time, harvest time, the end of the age, the wheat age, where the form image of the life is there, where dominion is to follow the form image, because God made man in his image and then gave him dominion. That's why you have to come back to the image before dominion could come back. You have no spoken word without this image. This is a masterpiece. Only the image could speak. Then God could strike the image and the image could speak. Amen. But look what he's going to take to bring that image. To bring that image out. That transforming power moving inside of it. Now watch. So no matter what channel God used, whether it was wheat or whether it was the sun and the moon and the stars, God was revealing to him something about himself. He was pointing to his position in the economy of God, the purpose he had born in the earth for, and he was going to come into fulfillment, the climax he was going to come into, the pinnacle of his life, where the whole purpose from a little childhood, being in charge of his brothers, built right up until he's going to be in charge over the whole world where God had put him there. Oh, my. And watch. And Joseph here, we see, now he's a type of this bride, but he had to be tried and proven first. Let's turn to Genesis 41. Plenty first. She was 37 years there when his brothers walked in that day, and he sat there seeing the entire thing being fulfilled before his eyes. Now, on the message, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, are we taking some of this inspiration here? Okay. All right, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. Speaking about Joseph, page 24. Joseph was an elected son. He was a perfect type of Jesus Christ. He was born a prophet. He's a prophet also. And now you can see visions. And when he was yet a little boy, he saw a vision of himself sitting on a throne and his brothers bowing to him. But watch, he kind of felt like he was a great guy, see? And all but what God did have to do, he did the same thing he had to do the rest of them, because Moses was a deliverer, Paul was a deliverer. Now Joseph was a deliverer. He saved his people from the famine. What did God have to do to him? Put him in prison, right straight up to prison. God had to strip it. See? You notice this? But all the time I believe in that prison, he could remember that the vision said he was going to sit on the throne. What is God going to reveal the word for you in one season for? And then you have to be tested on your revelation. The testing of your faith worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience hope, and I hope that make it not a shame. Is that right? That the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But watch, as you come from one stage to the next, you forget, that's why you so quickly forget the exhortation as sons. Because every son that comes unto God must be first child trained. So God in one season give you the revelation. Then you walk it, you rejoice and you get your happy, sweeten the mouth. But you're going to get bit in the belly because you have to try you upon the word. And the Bible says the word of the Lord tried him and his feet hurt in fetters of iron until the time came. See, watch. Because I believe all that time, he was sitting there in that prison, and he said he was going to sit on a throne, and his brothers were going to bow to him because he knew that this gift came from God. He knew that it had to come to pass. If we could only keep that in our minds, that according to the word of God, in these last days, he's going to have a church. He's going to have a people. You see how he's typing that? He said, what about us now? If we could only keep that in our mind, Joseph, he having faith in the visions revealed to him about his own self. In other words, he could rely upon what the word say he was. And because he recognized his position as revealed to him by God, he had faith and he was able to master all circumstances. Even though he was in prison and all the pressures upon him, yet he had faith in the knowledge of what the word said he was and what he was going to be. See? So he says, if we can only keep that in our mind. See, God said in the last days he's going to have a church. He says he's going to have a people, and that these things that he promised, he's going to do them. He said he would do them, and we are living in the time with the word. When did Rebecca come forth? After Eliezer went forth. When did Rahab display the token of judgment hour? At the end of the journey, when it was Gentiles, after Joshua had the commission, when God was bringing judgment upon the nations. When did Esther come in? After Vashti was rejected on the seventh day. In other words, every one of them bright types there, they come at the end of the age after the one man scripture. And Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah, and he shall turn the heart of the children. That's a one man. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin the song, the mission will be finished. That's a one man. And from 1946 to 1965 was a one man. And from 1965 to 1993, there must be a Rebecca to follow Eliezer. There must be a Rahab to display the token. There must be a Ruth to come in the harvest time. There must be Esther to go in the presence of the king after Vashti is rejected. Where's them people?
Where are them people who have that vision that they are raised of the quickening and bring those words to life? Because Brother Abraham knew he was alias and he went looking for a bride. Is that right? He knew he was Joshua who had a commission to bring a people in the Ephesians. Can't we know we are Rahab coming in? A Gentile with holy faith and works? Amen. Amen. If that is the way he knew the word and had perfect faith, how are you going to have perfect faith? You have to know what part of the vision you are.
Amen. Amen. He says, notice, he's going to do it. He said he would. And we are living in the time of the word. We are in time of the word. Because between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophets is when that bride must come. When we finish, it's going to go to the Jews. Have no more age. It must come to us. We must know one day these things, we're going to walk in that vision. Oh, I wonder if he's not touching you tonight and you think it's a man touching you. You think it's Brother Jack Moe, somebody, one of the brothers around you touching you. I wonder if you turn and begin to see the scriptures, the things in the vision, to identify you in time with the vision. You're in time with the word. And the channel is open now. And you can move into it. I wonder what kind of perception you have when you hear the word. If it refines your perception. I wonder if it stimulates the faith inside of you. If you're believing you are part of the bride all these years. On scriptural grounds that you are part of the word. Amen. So he says God had to make him a prisoner first. He said he would. We are living the time of the word. He's just trying to get us to be real prisoners now, locked in with him. When I heard a brother come and sing that, make us a prisoner. Next brother sing prayers. I said, oh God, I was wondering whether I should preach this message here tonight. And here it is, this song. Both of them singing them songs tonight. Amen. He said, did you know the old song we used to sing? And then I'm shut in with God. I want to be shut in with God. When I thought about that, shut in with God, you can only move when God says move. You can only do as God says do when you shut in with God. He said, remember, he was thinking maybe I'm a total failure. Here Jesus in prison, false charges, false accused, charging for being with the woman, all these things, trying to rape the woman. But then he's sitting there, all this upon his head, hated by his brothers, not going, hated here by people he tried to help. Then thrown in prison, then tried to help the butler and get back there and seem like you're ungrateful, seem like nothing can work out for you. Seems like if everything conspired to be against you and you're waiting right there, your feet hurting and them fetters are iron and brother, all that revenge when to come up in your mind. But why? You had faith from your revelation. Virtue tried to give out what you had with meekness to your brothers, tried to strengthen them, but they spurn it. Amen. Knowledge. You know that the vision came from God. You know it must come to pass in God's own season and God's time. You know God have appointed time for your division to speak. Temperance. Amen. You never fuss with them. You never went and argue and try to debate and strife. They throw you down in the pit. You never try to retaliate. You come out there. The woman try to throw herself upon you, press you, offer you money, offer you this, offer you that thing, tell the husband at home, all kind of different things. Come over here in this church, plant your seed. But he said, no, God seen me. I'm a man of principle. Amen. But he stood up right there. Glory be to God in the highest. Temperance, self-control. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. Holding his flesh together, amen. But patience, knowing, wait upon the Lord, amen. Then wait upon the Lord, he shall renew the strength. God have a time, God have a season, amen. The testing of your faith, work at patience. After the word of the Lord is trying me out of me, testing my revelation. Amen. Let patience have his perfect work, that you might be entire, wanting nothing. And godliness, he come up before Pharaoh now. And he never used his gift for commercial. Well, if you offer me a big job, Pharaoh, I'll tell you what your dream mean. Give me a big offering. How much you can offer? He shout his revelation free. Such as I have freely received, freely give. Give it out to them. It's yours. Take it. Amen. What you wanted to do? He didn't even ask for the position. Pharaoh come and say, he says, who are you going to take? He said, with that thing you say, no, use the man for the job. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You can interpret and reveal them things. Amen. Brother, godliness to be like Jesus. And brotherly kindness when his brothers come and they thought he's going to want revenge. Thought, oh, they reject me over all these years. You threw me down the pit. He thought he was going to want revenge. He said, no, he said, God had it for a purpose. Amen. Notice something. Look what happened in the prison. In his own dreams, he revealed the wheat age. Is that right? Amen. He revealed the form, image of the life. The wheat, the dominion, where they're bowing down to him. Where he's going to be in the throne, where he's going to reign over them. In the prison, while he was learning to be a prisoner, he was getting more revelations. He unfolded the mystery of restoration and judgment. He told the butler, you'll go right back to your position in the presence of the king. He said, you'll take back up your office because the butler was thrown in prison for putting new wine in old bottles. Take the king new wine and the bottle burst and spill all the good wine. Pharaoh get vexed and threw him in the prison. The baker go on and put 11 inside the bread and supposed to be on 11 bread. Pour 11 inside the bread. Is that right? Sure. Watch. He had 3 baskets on his head. Luther went there on Pentecost. The one on top was not sealed. And the fowls of the air begin to eat it. And Joseph say, so the fowls will eat your flesh. Read Revelation 19. But it is supper of the great God, where the fowls will eat the flesh. This age, is that right? But while they were eating one has been restored back to the position in the presence of the king. Hallelujah! Restoration and judgment. But it is bringing the vials and the seals, all that thing, while he's learning to become a prisoner. Amen. All that time, still walking the vision, still being tried and tested. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But then the time come. Then when he come, he revealed how to stop the food. Hallelujah. Amen. How to stop the food. And the time of famine, he opened his storehouse. And he started, let there be light. Let there be this. Yeah, I'm the light. But that's much a food stop in the storehouse. He could just take us and preach from now until Jesus come. I went done. Because all them years, that 7 years are plenty. Amen. God, stop the food. Amen. Nourishment in a time of famine in the land. People scratching around for a message and all to turn what to do. Some halfway gospel. Amen. But the word is stored up. Amen. To bring nourishment could be ministered. Amen. But isn't this the wheat age? Isn't this the age of the image and the dominion? Isn't this the age of restoration and judgment? Isn't this the age of the famine? Not for the hearing of the word only, for bread and water, but for the hearing of the word? Is this the time when the stored up food is to be given out? Watch, all that was there. And then when he was made a prisoner, he came into the second ride. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Watch. Let me just finish up that. I'm finished. I'm just, you see the ready, I just throw it out here to you. Blasphemous names here. I want to take something here where he's speaking about the statue of a perfect man. He preaches after statue of a perfect man, and he's explaining what he was teaching. He's now coming from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, then he will give you supernatural faith, spiritual faith. He said that here at the bottom, that genuine spiritual faith recognizes only the word. You see, and then you're born a baby. You're born a man. You grow up into Christ, into the head. And you come unto a perfect man. Unto the stature, the measure, the fullness of Christ. And when you become a man, you put away childish things. You don't cry like a whimpering baby in the baby bottle. Why cry? Speak when you come up there. Amen. Watch your word. It flashed like lightning then. When you come into that white rock where those 7 thunders are. And you see, when a church, that where the church start, they start to get faith here, where the minister catches the revelation and begin to preach it in his local church. He have a teaching rain. He's planting his word. He said, Brother Branham, you was teaching, and you started from the bottom, go all the way right up to the top. You was teaching. Is that right? And that's what every local church have to have. Every local church had to have a sowing time, and then they're going to come to a reaping time. They come right up to where God brings them to adoption and displays the fullness of the word. So there's going to be a time when the fullness of the word come in existence among the people. And that church there, like the Ephesians, they could try people by the word. They know what the word says. Every man in place, the families are in place, the deacons, the trustees in place, the musicians in place. Amen. But the place is in order with under the headship of the Holy Spirit. You see no foolishness among them people. Amen. You walk in there, but the atmosphere of God is there. The word judges everything. Amen. You see a real church. Glory. That's why we have all this nonsense in the message, back and forth, all this up and down, and people playing church and running here, just getting the following nothing, they know what's going on, they don't know where they're at, and what, like a greasy pole one made up here, next minute skate back down, and you know. But brother, when you walk in the word, let me tell you, and you follow the word a certain way, it's impossible for the wheat to stay in the point of the song and get back green. It getting riper all the time. Thank God to be in the new church. Yeah. This is a new church, you know. Amen. Remember, the old church is finished, you know. Yeah. Listen. You're not passing on a new piece of garment to the old piece of garment. No, sir. Joseph's ministry really came into operation when he came out of the prison. That's when he came. And the prophet preached his message, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. As I close for the last few quotes here, showing that finally God came to him in the prison. He came to him and he used that gift that he had given to get him out of there. He brought him from the prison. What did he do? As soon as he brought him out from the prison, he gave him power by the king. But a fortune was telling me yesterday, we came out from Cedrus, yesterday, the day before yesterday, how during the interval time, God had given something in Jeremiah. I mean, he heard me preach on Jeremiah last week about his exhortation for the people who had remained back, who were going to captivity and so on. And I was thinking about this morning when I was coming to preach this evening about prison, how God take Joseph into prison, teach him to be a prisoner. And when he bring him out with all self-will stripped from him, a prisoner in the chains of the word, then he's coming to a ministry of authority and power. So if you're in your prison and fetters hurting on your feet, you stay right there and just ask God for ease and I'll come up. And there wait upon the Lord, he shall renew the strength. Amen. Yes, sir. He's taking away your... You see, you ever see a man in prison? I saw it in an article with me. I wanted to read about Nelson Mandela. He was in prison for 27 years, shot in isolation. And when he came out of prison, and he began to go on tour, and they wanted to know how this man, who's a little lawyer, back there in the days of the apartheid and these things, and then they shot him in prison for sedition charges and different things. And the man became so disciplined behind the prison walls. So when he came out of prison, and he went to see, I think it was, he went to England, the Queen wanted to see him, and he went to America, meet President Bush and them, and he sit down on these talk shows where these big TV personalities want to drill you and make you say the wrong things and pressure you and pull what they want out of you. Hallelujah. And the man, they say the character that the man displayed and the attitude, and no matter how they tried to revile him in every way, but he was so calm. And I happened to see him too one time. I was in Poland, in Warsaw. And I was in this hotel room in Warsaw, and they was talking about the apartheid thing that was happening, and they was trying to, you know, make the ANC look bad and trying to throw a lot of things at him. And the man was so composed, and I began to think, because ever since I had the article, I always had kept it to preach it with this message of a prisoner, knowing he was a prisoner for all these years. Because when a man is in prison, they tell you when to eat. You don't say, wake me up about 10 now. I find last night, I had a hard night. Let me try and catch up on some rest. And say, I'm going to take my lunch. I'll take my lunch and my dinner together this evening. You know, they don't have that. You sleep when they tell you sleep. You get up when they tell you get up. You go out in the yard when they tell you go out in the yard. You sit down when they tell you sit down. They eat when they tell you eat. And you eat what they give you to eat too. You strip all will. You have no self-will. See? And God had to make them a prisoner. And God teach Joseph what it is to be a prisoner before he can have power. He had to be a prisoner first before he could come into a position of authority. And there was one of the mysteries of how the prayer minister was going to come. How God was going to bind in the chains of the word. Where he said, not my will, but thou will be done. My meat is to do the thing that sent me and to finish his work. Amen. I do those things always that please him. Amen. So look. So he said, as soon as he was brought up from his prison, he was given power by the king. He was changed. He was brought from the prison house and given power to whatever he said happened. Any prisoner who constantly remembers he was born for a purpose. Are you a prisoner tonight? Remember you're born for a purpose. He was born to sit by a king. And all the rest of them was going to bow the knee to him. His vision told him so. But before his vision could be completely fulfilled, he had to become a prisoner. Before his vision could be completely fulfilled, where you'll display this token, manifest the authority, speak this word, start the rapture, and faith to grow the church, you have to become a prisoner. Amen. You have to be stripped of your will. He says, then he become a ruler, and when he come from prison house, he become a prisoner to the word, and he can only say what God put in his mouth to say. Then God moved through him. Notice that Moses had power to bind Pharaoh's prisoner at his own will. If you say to this mountain, see what he's talking about? If you say to this mountain, third Paul, spoken word, he had power to bind Pharaoh's prison. He could do it at his own word and at his own pleasure. Amen. Glory to God. Now we find out he became a prisoner to God, from a prisoner to the world, from a prisoner to his own thinking, to a prisoner of God. And when he come out, he had the power of God. And they had to be stripped of their own thinking in order to become a prisoner to the will and ways of God. And you remember now, he had power to bind his own word. Psalms 105, as I read to you. He had power to loose at his own word. He could say, I loose you in the name of my king. Amen. Pharaoh made Joseph his son. Christ makes his prisoners of love his sons. And he gives them power. The same thing he said in St. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, even more than this shall he do. Now the prisoner of the love of Jesus Christ becomes empowered by his king, who is Christ. And verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and don't doubt in your heart, believe what you said will come to pass, you shall have what you said. If you abide in me, my word abide in you. If you are yoked to me, because he and his word is the same. If you abide in me, not here and there, abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will, or say what you will be done. He has power. Notice, before he came out, get this, he had to be taken out and shaved. Before, when he came out, he had to be shaved. And that's why, you know, since I get here on my face and shaving, I must be used about 3 different kinds of razor already. And right now they have a new one, Gillette Micro something. Boy, I tell you, that is the cleanest shave you could get. See? And it takes a lot of shaving. He said he had a few wills to be shaved off. Come out of prison, but he had to be shaved. And these past few weeks have been shaving some of you, shaving your wills off. Amen. A lot of shaving going on. Before he came out, he'd be taken and shaved. A few things had to be shaved off before he could meet his king. Oh, God sometimes takes people out there and shaves a few of their own wills off. He shows them that they can't do just what they wanted to do. See, you want to go outside and walk, you want to go downstairs and you want to. I hate a lot of people eating food downstairs. I preach up here and they're eating food and they're feeding children food. All that. We used to have that in our church years ago. We stopped that. When you could, let me tell you, this church should start here 11 o'clock. The children could get a good meal and eat and rest and be able to go back home comfortably. Parents ill-train the children because they are delinquent and the mind is taking up more meat for the belly than the word for the soul. Exactly right. Let me tell you, you feed them good home in the morning, put them there and train them that way, that they'll have respect for the house of God from the small, and they'll know here is not this kind of park. Here is not the recreation ground up on Princeton there. This is the house of God when we come here. Downstairs is not a cafeteria. Downstairs is a nursery where mothers just nurse babies. Downstairs is not a lunchroom or breakfast shed. No, sir, I dedicate the building. I remember. I know what lunchroom downstairs. I can't remember that down in the building. But people make that. They bring the slothful ways and they create that. Amen. All of us shave off tonight. I trust it, shave off tonight. Light it up and shave it off real good. Amen. Glory. And get a tweezer and pull out some of the fine ones too. Amen. Glory. No, you have to like this part of the message too, you know. Remember Brother Bram talking about the Pentecostal kitten? Kitty, 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 bride, spoken word, third pole, Joseph, second ride, new chariot. And shave a few wills and everybody gets. Huh? Say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Put away that foolishness right away, Lord. Amen. Glory. Yes, sir. Let me tell you, that is where you show your character as a church, you know. When you can take all the word, then you know you're preaching the bride material. Amen. You can take the word. God bless you for it. Amen. Be of good cheer. Oh, sometimes God has to shave off them wills, he says, before they can come into full power and be a love slave to Christ. They have to be shaved off and then presented. Shave off and then presented. Sometimes you make them, you take them to the deserts to do that. Shave them off. Bring them out. The anointed ones to fulfill the purpose he has ordained them to be. See what I mean, brother? We are at the end time. Remember all other times what he done. He always had to take man and make him a prisoner. Forsake his own way. Forsake everything that he knew. forget all of his training and everything in order to know the will of God and to follow. He can't follow anything that man's got to do and God at the same time. It's too contrary one to the other. Now then, if you are following God, you have submitted yourself to God, you have become a prisoner to God, to the word, to the will, no matter what anything else says, you are a prisoner to it. Listen to me at the end time. I would say this with reverence and respect. In the last couple of minutes floating by, look what God, to my opinion, will do. He must do and will do at the end is to find a tool for the harvest. He's got to find a tool to thresh the floor. Any farmer, when he's got to have his harvest, he has to have a tool to do it. Certainly, he's got a sharp sickle or some sharp instrument. Is it for myself? God, let me be a prisoner. If all my brethren turn me down, if all my friends turn me down, I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ and his word, that I might be harnessed to the word by the Holy Spirit, to see the Holy Spirit make me the word of God, confirmed by the same things he said he would be done. I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. I keep you long enough. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to leave out some. Amen. So look at Joseph coming in. He was coming the second ride. Oh, he was coming in that second ride. Every knee had to bow. He was coming in already shaved, dressed with the robe. Dressed. He said, where's that robe? Where's that ring? Where's that chain? It's an adoption ceremony. Amen. Where God bring him to a supreme authority in the land. But he had to be a prisoner first. He had to go through that way, through the dungeon. The way to the throne was through the dungeon. That was God's way. That was God's roadmap to the throne. Amen. Through the dungeon, through false accusation, through rejection, through self-crucifixion. Amen. Through a shaving. Hallelujah. Through learning patience and tribulations to bring him to that place. But then he was empowered by his king. He saw he was now in the vision. Hallelujah, he was in the vision. He knew what he had seen and under expectation for. It was now becoming a reality. It was happening all around him. Oh, let us realize the hour for it. Let us see how these things are happening. God is so good. God is so wonderful. I want to be shut in with God tonight, don't you? I want to be shut in with God in a secret place. Yeah, in the spirit, beholding his face. Gaining more power to run in this race. I just love to be shut in with God. Let's just sing that softly and pray before we dismiss tonight. Shut in with God. Shut in with God. Hallelujah. And I see. Oh, dear in the spirit, dear in the spirit, behold his face, gaining more power, gaining more power. Oh, let's lift our hands and sing it again and worship, making that confession tonight. Shut in with God. Oh, hallelujah, in a secret place. Secret. Oh, dear, in the spirit. Dear, in the spirit. That is our desire tonight, dear God. We just want to be shut in with you. Lord, seeing what your word is requiring of us, seeing, dear God, your program, dear God, how you dealt with Joseph in the Bible,
a type of your bride for this age, oh God. How you dealt with the prophet, how you dealt with the saints of God down through the ages, dear God. Lord, you are still the same unchangeable God, still working in an unexpected way. As we see your plan for our lives out of your word tonight, Father, as we see and understand the purpose behind all these divine revelations that you are communicating to us, Lord, as we see, dear God, the experiences that you predestinate in life's journey along the way, Lord, as we journey these past few years and the things we encountered, Lord, Lord, we realize that nothing was going wrong, Father, but dear God, all was going right. You had a purpose for everything because you are not the author of frustration. The footstool of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. It's not within man to direct his own steps. But Lord, it was you leading us, some through the water, some through the blood, some through the flood, oh God. Some through different experiences, oh God. But bring us all out to that place where, dear God, we can become one with that vision, Father. That vision of that perfect man. That perfect man that we are beholding and walking step by step by step until we walk right into it and become one with it and see it become a reality in our lives. Oh God, so it is with divine healing. So it is with divine redemption, oh God. So it is, Lord, in this very hour as you are bringing these things to pass. Lord God, may you give courage to your children to keep walking. May they not faint and fall at the wayside. May they not wiggle away from the straight and narrow pathway. But oh God, may they be encouraged tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus, to walk with steps of assurance, to walk with confidence, knowing, dear God, they can have this confidence that you who begin the work in them will perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. Because they are predestinated to be conformed into your image, oh God. And Lord, as they behold that image, as they are changed from glory unto glory in that image, oh God, with each passing day, each passing revelation, knowing, God, a vision tarry, it will speak in the appointed time, Lord. Oh God, Lord, we have to be tried, we have to be tested, oh God. But the world will not fail, because heaven will pass away. But your word will never, never, never pass away, Lord. It's impossible for you to lie. We stand upon it tonight. We stand upon it tonight, Lord. Oh, God. We feel anchored down tonight. We feel bolted down tonight, oh, God. Seeing, dear God, this great vision of perfection. The plan of God for this age. To bring a bride, the man that's redeemed, standing in that eternal church age at the end of the seven seals, displaying that redemption, oh God, displaying that adoption, that perfection, that full authority. Oh God, like Jacob, Lord, we're gonna keep climbing that ladder, oh God, until we come one with you. And we know you in us and we in you, oh God, knowing as we were known, seeing face to face. Not through a glass darkly anymore, but seeing face to face. We can hear your voice say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell in, oh God. Lord, may you grant it in this hour. Make it real, oh God. Anchor it down in every heart, we pray. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. May you grant it tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my, let us sing, Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus, I surrender all. Be the Lord of all, the kingdom of my heart. If you want to be a prisoner tonight, say, I want to be a prisoner. I want to surrender. I want to lift my hand as a sign of surrender tonight. I want the Lord to bind me with the chains of his word, the fetters of love. Make me a love slave to Jesus Christ. Where he can show for them preeminences. He can display that omnipotence tonight. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. A sign of surrender, universal sign.
Jesus be Lord of all.
Oh, Jesus be the Lord of all tonight.
Jesus be the
kingdoms of my heart.
Jesus, Jesus, I surrender all tonight. Oh, mean it tonight, children. Let the Holy Spirit see that deepness of sincerity. See that willingness inside of your soul to pay that price. See that word be made manifest in you down the floor. Jesus, I oh, whatever it takes tonight, you're willing to line up with that word. Jesus, I surrender all the kingdoms of my heart. Oh, many people want to be Savior, but how many want to make Him Lord? Lord means ruler, master. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be Lord, be ruler, be master, be owner tonight. Hallelujah. Take your rightful place, Lord. We submit tonight. Jesus be the He'll do it for you. Have confidence and believe Him tonight. That's why He's speaking it to you. He's giving you faith. Of all the kingdoms of my heart. Oh, without reservation. Jesus, I surrender. Withholding nothing tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, hear your children tonight. In sincerity, Lord. Oh God, they're surrendering all to you, Father. You have anointed their faith by your word. Now they are willingly laying down their lives, their feet, their fat, their inward, their head. Oh God. May your holy fire consume it. May it be a sweet smelling savor unto you, Lord. May you make everyone a prisoner of love tonight. Bound in the chains of your word, the chains of dust, said the Lord. The kingdoms may with our head bowed and our eyes closed. We're now ask Brother Samuel Johnson to come and pray. Ask God bless this missile tonight. And friends, let's just yield, let's just surrender. Let's just let go and let God tonight. Knowing He can do greater things for us than we can do for our own selves. He wants to help us. He wants to do it for us. He wants to live His own life through you rather than you struggle to live His life. Just God. Believe Him.
Father, we so thank You for Your word tonight, Lord. Lord, it's because You care for us and You love us, Father. You can make Your word so plain, Lord. Show us the vision that we could see ourselves in the vision, Father. Lord, You want us to be in the right place, God. You want us to have the right expectation, Father. You want us to walk in Your will, Lord. Lord, You don't want us to be deceived, Lord. You don't want us to be fooled, Father. You promised, Lord God, that the great guide, Lord, would not let us come up lost.
Hallelujah.
But we could see you take the time tonight, God, and come in this little humble place, Father, and expose, Lord, this vision of Your word so and make it so real, God.
Jesus.
Oh, God, may Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, take every heart here tonight, Father. And, Lord, fashion it, Lord, by Your word, God, that we could walk in step, Father. Lord, truly is the bride of our God. Truly is the time, God, Lord, that You're making it so plain and so real, God, Lord, that we could know how much You love us and how much You care for us, God. And what you see, God, Lord, must come to pass, Father. Truly, this word is unfailing, God, the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, the unfailing word of promise. Lord, it must come to pass, Father. You're not slack concerning it, Lord. Lord, we could see, God, Lord, by the exposition of it tonight, God.
Aye.
We could see by the force of it tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We could see by the determination of your spirit, Father,
aye,
that you're determined to give it to us, God.
Hallelujah.
More than we even desire it, oh God. Oh God, we humble ourselves before thy throne tonight.
Aye.
And we ask thee that thou would make us what you want to make us, Lord. Oh God, we want to ask you that you have your own way, God, Lord. Mold us and make us, Lord. Oh God, break us, Lord God. Remold us back again, Father.
Hallelujah.
Shave us, Lord God, the thing that is not of you, God. Shave it off, Father.
Thank
oh God, that we could come and stand in the presence of the King. Lord, we thank you again tonight, God. We pray you bless your servant, Father. Continue to anoint him, God, Lord, with these divinely revealed mystery truths, that our hearts could be turned back to that faith, God, Lord, the faith of the fathers, Father. We feel it so all around us tonight, God. Truly, by a divine revelation tonight, we could know that that faith is living still. Oh, God, bless him and strengthen him. Bless all your people, God. All the children, God, in the midst. Oh, God, as we feel that anointing flowing through us tonight, God, we know that you are in the midst,
Hallelujah.
Father. We know that
Hallelujah.
You are walking in the pews, God. We know that every heart has been visited tonight, Lord. Let us walk in this great light, Father. Oh, God, and have fellowship in it, God. And your word did say that the blood that speaketh better things will cleanse us, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, and make us ready, Father. All your servants said, Lord, that you're on the earth fixing things for the coming of the Lord. Oh, God, fix everything in place, Father. Lord, the vision cannot happen, Father, until everything is fixed, Lord. Oh, God, you fix it, Father. Lord, and you'll get praise and honor and glory
to
us, Lord. Just have your own way, Father. Lord, we say thank you, Lord.
Thank
oh,
you,
we want to thank you, Father.
Glory.
We thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name,
we thank
Lord.
You for visiting us tonight,
Hallelujah.
God. Just have your own way, God.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
Bless your people,
Hallelujah.
Father. Strengthen thank in
you,
a man.
Lord.
Oh, we thank you, Lord. Have your way, God. And lead us safely home, Father.
Thank
remembering
you.
All that was said tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen.
God bless you, may I certainly appreciate your patience tonight. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Just keep walking it, friend. Just keep anointing the word in your heart and you stay with it and you watch and see God make it a reality. You desire what God show you that he's going to do for you. Fellowship with God and those things. Talk it over with him. Amen. And let him make it such a reality until he anoints you into such a way that every move will reflect Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever it takes, sing that little cross as we go. We are dismissed. Amen. I hear a voice calling me. Voice calling.